Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let me bang,
I do let you bang.
Let me bang, you
bang,
man.
Let you bang.
Let me bang, you bang.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got a great show today. It's going to be awesome. We have the girl that jumped into the bare knuckle ring last week, Jenny Macho Savage, the Tennessee gangster, is on the show. That's what I'm talking about, as well as Chaim Ghazali, who also fought in bare knuckle. They call him the Israeli Batman.
Yeah.
This dude is a legend, as well as Sarah McMahon, who is an Olympic silver medalist wrestler, UFC star, beautiful, just opened up her own gym, coming off a loss. It was a close one. It was really close going to the third round. I thought I had it 1-1, maybe even 2-0, Sarah. So we'll talk about that. And my man Shang is here.
Hey.
It's going to be a good show, man. It's been crazy. My daughter yesterday found my marijuana pipe. Luckily, there was nothing in it. But she's like, Daddy, what's this? And I was like, happiness.
It makes me deal with the fact that you're all still here.
Oh man, it's like we finally got the nanny is off COVID, so we have her. I have her a couple hours a week. I can't have her full time. I just can't afford that right now. I'm not bringing in what I was bringing in
like we were doing before, right?
Yeah, so I can't even rationalize. But it's nice to have a couple hours a day to actually work. But I'm using that time to work out. Because
right.
I can't work out when I'm supposed to be with my wife, because she'll be like, "Why? You know, why could you do that before?" So I've been, but I mean, that fight camp, dude, you got to get that fight camp. I'm telling you, Shang, it'll change your life. And I'm not getting paid by fight camp. I mean, I wish I was.
But right. You wish it was, yeah.
Everybody out there, if you want to do a workout on your own time, which is what I need, because it's like when I got to be at the gym at noon or four a class, it like fucks up my whole day, kind of. But if I know I could just do it within a certain time, it's just better for me. You know,
I've been obviously, you know, I've been up and down, but I think picking a specific time is always good.
Of like, course.
Yeah, I go, okay.
I'm still getting feedback on your mic, by the way.
Huh?
Whatever you're doing, you gotta the ooh. I'm hearing ooh. Is it plugged into the phone or something, or?
My phone is okay. No, my phone, it's not plugged in through the phone, man.
Something's off. I hate telling you this because I feel like.
I do a lot of other shows, and
I think they're all scared of you, Shang. People, you're
no, very, they're not. No, they're not. And no, they're not.
Physically, what are you? 6'5"?
I'm 6'12". Yeah.
No, what are you?
Like 6'2".
6'2". What? 270?
No. Yeah. Well, 268. Yeah.
It's still there. It's still there. So most people, they don't even want to tell you.
Well, watch this.
That's better. That's better. It's way better. That's 100% better.
All right, done.
I'm actually working on that now in therapy about not, because I hate, as like tough as I am, like I always end up in my life, like not wanting to make people upset with me. And then I end up just like carrying a load on myself. So I'm working on not putting their feelings on me. So like that, for example, if I was like, I don't want to make Shang upset because his voice is too loud, and then he's going to get mad, it's going to fuck up the whole podcast.
Have I ever been like that? You've driven in a car with me in a cornfield. What are you talking about?
No, because we're friends, but there are
times. I don't act like that with people. My main thing is just tell me and I go from there. I'm with the crazy motherfuckers we've dealt with, I'm more even-keeled than the average person. And I think that I thought back with my dad, even though I got in, the only reason I joined Taekwondo class was because I was afraid of Marty, this dude named Marty that I thought was going to beat me up all the time. And then over the summer, I got bigger and I, you know, trained and I felt better. It made me feel more solid. I didn't do it because I love martial arts. I was like,
well, I think the biggest problem in life right now is people haven't got their asses kicked. Whether it's
you think that's the reason?
I think people would be a lot less like talking shit online, being mean to people, being rude to people, if they knew what it was like to get punched in the face, beat up, and even like in a sport. And I'll just put wrestling in that, because there are times where like you get the, I mean, I've coached kids where in middle school I've had 7 or 8 kids cry during practice. I mean, and they're not even like hurt, most of them. They're just scared or whatever. But by the end of that season, they're just, it's a whole different kid. And
right.
And I think that jiu-jitsu is the same way. You know, you when you have to deal with pain, when you have to deal with animosity, when you have to deal with adversity, not animosity, adversity, it just makes you a better person. And I think there are just too many people out there whose parents have coddled them and have protected them, and for whatever reason, they haven't got the shit beaten out of them. So they say what they say to people because they don't know what it's like to get
somebody to punch you in your mouth. You know what changed me when Master Go was 60. He was 62, and you know I'm in my early like 30s, and I'm thinking, oh, this little dude ain't gonna do shit with me. And when I say every single time he fucked me up, and his jiu-jitsu was just crazy. So I was like, it made me respect it. I mean, I was hurt, and it made me go, you know what? I needed that, because
when I was in high school, this guy Joel Friedman, he won the state championship of New York, and I think it's different now. I think they divide it now, so you could have like 5 New York state champions.
They actually split it up, but there's more.
Back then, it was like one, right? And if you were the state champ, you were the state champ. I mean. Like John Jones took like 4th his junior year. I think he might have won it his senior year, but that's how good it was. So many great wrestlers did not win the state championship back in the day. Who went on to like be great in college. But there was a guy named Joel Friedman who was like, "Hey, come to my comedy clinic every Sunday." And it was just me and him and like one dude. And he was like 3 years older, 40 pounds heavier, 20 pounds heavier, and he beat the living shit out of me every week. I came home with like fucking black eyes, my tooth would be out, I'd have my ear would be in the other town, and my dad would be like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And I'm like, but it made me so much better. I came back and whooped everybody, and that's what you need. Anyway, let's talk about actual real fighters. So
yeah, let's talk about the guys that do it.
The Bellator Grand Prix got announced, and look, I just please stick to the dates, okay? If somebody
they're not gonna do it. Why do you keep saying that?
If somebody gets hurt, they're out. We're not gonna postpone fights, because this actually, I gotta say, for light heavyweight, the problem is that you have John Jones, light heavyweight, who now is a heavyweight, and John Jones beats all of these people. But man, if John Jones is a heavyweight, the Bellator has a really good. You look at the matchups. Okay, so we got Bader versus Machida, which is a rematch because I was actually at the first one, and Bader was doing fine, but it was a boring fight. When you fight Machida, if you don't knock him out, it's going to be a boring fight. You're going to win a contested.
Machida is meticulous. He's
but he backs up the whole fight. He fights crazy.
But he suckers you in. He's not.
And that's exactly what happened. Was everybody in the arena started booing, and Bader was like, "Oh shit, I got to do something." And then he just got knocked the fuck out. He got caught with a knee or a kick. And my dad, who's not an MMA fan at all, I mean, he likes it kind of, but he tells me every time that Sugar Ray Robinson would have beat everybody up. Every time we see watch a fight, he tells me that Sugar, man, these guys aren't fighters. Sugar Ray Robinson would have beaten all these guys up at the same night. And maybe he's right. I don't know. Sugar Robinson was a legend.
I think after if he got a heel hook, it would be over.
Maybe, but back in the day, those guys. I mean, Ray Robinson was like 300 and 0 as an amateur, and he was like 120 and 7. I mean, even Ali had like a bum of the month club. They called him because he was like a bum every month. Well, the thing is, he's fighting every month. That's pretty freaking cool when guys are fighting every month. Even when Tyson was good, when Tyson was at his best, they knew, like, We don't have much time with Mike Tyson. This dude's a walking train wreck. We're going to put him in every single month. Anyway, so I think this at this point in their careers, Bader beats Machida. Machida is not the same Lyoto. People have kind of figured him out, and I think Bader wins that fight. Now, Phil Davis versus Nemkov. Everybody's telling me, you know, Nemkov, because of what Nemkov did to Ryan Bader.
I think Phil going to surprise him.
Well, the first fight was close. Really, really
too close. I think Who did you give it to?
I gave it to Nemkov, but I think Phil won, I believe it was the third round. He lost the first two. He just waited too much. He fell in love with the striking. Phil Davis is a smart guy. He's not taken much damage in his career. I mean, he's been rocked on like two occasions. One by Anthony Johnson, and
you got to give him – Anthony Johnson rocks.
Johnson fucking sneezes on you and you're fucking falling down, you know?
Yeah, I give him a pass on that one, but I actually give Phil this one. I really do.
Yeah, you know what? I think Phil pulls off the upset against Nemkov.
Yeah, he can't just stand up. He got to use his other abilities. And I have a frustration with some fighters where I go, this is what you're really good at.
The problem with a guy named Nemkov, who is, I believe, an expert in Sambo, and Sambo and wrestling are very similar, where Sambo is almost like a more wrestling-based jiu-jitsu. That's what Khabib did with Sambo. So the issue is, yeah, Phil Davis is a national champion wrestler. Yes, he's a four-time All-American. But Nemkov Sambo is pretty damn good. So, I mean, really good. Like, I think he's like some kind of a champion in Sambo. I know someone's going to tell me that, boo, 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 I don't care. Okay, he's fucking good, all right? I don't want to hear that. Ween Dog is training for a new job. He would tell me exactly what his Sambo credentials are. Either way, I think Phil Davis. Now, Corey Anderson, he's actually got, I think, the toughest. Because Phil Davis and Nemkov fought each other. Bader Machida fought each other. There's a guy named, I'm going to butcher it, Yagshmiryadov.
Yag.
These names are like, remember when back in the day you had alphabet soup and you just took a spoon and looked down?
Yeah, I'm going to be fighting.
That's how they name these people. It's fucking, you're looking down and you're seeing a bowl of apple. So Anderson's, this is a tough one because this dude's on an 8-fight winning streak, hasn't lost since 2016. And he fought in ACB, which is a very underrated promotion because those guys are killers. I mean, Bubba Jenkins went over there and got tapped, like, weirdly, but pretty – I mean, he got beat up. A lot of guys go over there, they get beat up. There's a bunch of killers in that promotion. It's just weird how they don't promote it, yada, yada, yada. It's sort of – I think you get paid in cash and the cash bounces or something.
I think they PayPal you right after the fight.
Jason Andor said, yeah, it's like Dagestani paper. All right, and then Anthony Johnson – and then Anthony Johnson versus Romero.
That's a Romero called the ring because he got good wrestling and Romero. My impression of Romero.
That might be the worst impression of.
But I think he's going to win.
I thought you had a stroke just now. I honestly.
It happens. I think that he's going to win.
You think Romero beats Rumble?
Absolutely.
You think? I don't know. I mean, first of all, we have to go that Bellator. They're testing. They don't do USADA testing. So these guys may be different. I mean, it seems like I don't know that Ryan Bader and some of these guys took anything. I have no proof. I don't want to make allegations. It just seems like some of these Bellator guys the keys are in my jacket. My jean jacket is hanging up. It seems like some of these guys, they do better in Bellator.
Right.
So they look better. They feel stronger. Ryan Bader went on like a 13-fight winning streak in Bellator. Now, I'm not saying he's on anything. I'm not.
But you sound like you're insinuating, though.
I'm going to leave it at that. I have no proof about any of this.
I saw his horse tail.
The amount of guys that seem to get busted in Bellator for steroids versus UFC is like 20 to 1. You almost never hear guys get popped in Bellator.
Right.
So either they're not testing as much or they're all cleaner. Or something. Something's a little strange over there. But it makes for an interesting fight. So now we're like Romero, who I think at one point he got popped, but then he sued and won the supplement company. And Anthony Johnson, who's never tested positive, but when he was in his weightlifting days, he looked like oh my God. I mean, those pictures of him bulked up, I've never seen anything like it before.
Right, yeah, but you don't think that, I mean, both of them are obviously.
I'm picking Rumble. I think that Rumble.
Why? What? I mean, it's because Rumble has no ground game, none.
No, first of all, he was a college wrestler.
But he still does it compared to.
Romero hasn't used his ground game since 1945. I mean, you look about ground game. I mean, when Romero never uses wrestling, almost ever. When was the last time? He sits there and waits and waits and waits and lands a punch or a knee. He almost hasn't taken a shot. You know, so I don't know. I think that Rumble.
Except, you know what, when he fought, the only time I seen where he wasn't as explosive as when he fought Stylebender.
Oh, yeah, he was like, but. He hasn't really looked good in a while. When he fought Paulo Costa, he looked weird. I mean, well, actually, that was a good fight.
No, that was a good fight. And I think that Paulo Costa, he was taken all the way to the end. And so I'm like, you're saying it wasn't a good fight. That was a good fight.
That was a good fight. But yeah,
Stylebender was not a good fight.
Right. Right.
To me. I think Stylebender was getting frustrated. Like, come on, motherfucker, let's go.
That was one of the worst fights I've seen. And I think that they both, but I almost thought it was weird. So that's what I'm saying. I think he's slowing down. And plus, we don't even know how old these Cubans are. They say he's like 45. He could be 70.
He's easily 75.
So I don't know. I think Rumble wins. He had time off. I think that when he lost to Daniel Cormier, which he almost won the first one, the second time, like his coach left him. He was in some weird mental state. He took time off. He recovered. Seems like he's in a happy place, a good place. I don't know. I think that Rumble wins this fight. I do.
You know why? I just, for some reason, even though I think he's a mutant, and just if you look at him physically, I think that Romero's a mutant. I just think that he needs to come back, and that motivation is what's going to really make him use all of this.
Yeah, but he never seems that really that motivated.
He did. No, wait a minute. When he fought Acosta, he did.
I don't know.
Come on.
It seems like, I don't know. Who knows? This is such a weird fight, but I'm excited for it. We're going to ask Sarah McMahon her opinion.
Yeah, well, let's ask her opinion. Yeah.
Beautiful Sarah McMahon is here. Who wins? All right, this Bellator Grand Prix. Rumble versus
Romero.
Versus Yoel Romero. Who wins that fight?
Oh, man. That's actually kind of tough. I'm going to say Rumble. The only reason I say it is because he seems to be a little bit more aggressive, where Romero has seemed to be, like, he's fighting more conservative and smart. So, but it tends to lead to a little less action. But in, like, the heavier weights, you know, it's hard to get in there, and getting in there and getting that knockout punch is really important, especially in the first few rounds. I just think that Rumble's going to kind of press the action more.
Right. Now, I said it does – I have no proof of this, but it seems like Bellator seems less stricting when it comes to testing for steroids and EPO. Am I right on that? I mean, nobody ever gets busted over there.
Well, I don't know. I actually – because I'm not in that organization, I don't know what they do, like if they're under USADA or if they do a commissions test or
– They're not under USADA. They're not under USADA.
Okay. Yeah, that makes it a little easier because, like, people can do stuff, like, outside of the competition and then be clean for the commission whenever the fight comes around. So that's – but that's everything outside of the UFC, it's like
– Yeah.
Why'd you make that face like,
Because, man, MMA is such a scary sport. I mean, even knowing that, there's people in the UFC who, like, who are getting away with it, but there's less. There's more – there's people who are getting caught. So – But outside of that, man, like getting in an MMA fight, like it's like premeditated violence. It's not like when you get on the street and, like, you know, something happens and you're angry and, you know, like you get into a fight, you know about it beforehand. And so, man, it's nerve wracking. And I can see why people would be like freaked out enough or, you know, have like doubts or whatever, you know, getting in there with a super skilled person as well. So they're going to try to gain an edge. Like, it's in other sports, I think that it's like kind of greed or cutting corners. And I think that sometimes in MMA, it's almost like a legitimate fear of getting harmed. You know, like,
You're right. It's almost like sometimes people are doing steroids because not because they want to win, because they're scared to lose.
Yeah. And it could be greed too. Like some people are in their 20s, more than talented, great place to train, all the testosterone that a guy naturally produces. So there's no real excuse there. But when guys get older and they naturally lose testosterone and things like that, like especially those bigger guys, man, that there's so much power. Like you kind of want to bring the bigger gun, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, but I think it's
think it's what?
Greed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Because you don't have to compete. It's a premeditated fight that you sign up for. So if you're nervous about it, don't do it.
Yeah. Stop it.
I'll tell you what, at 42, I started taking TRT and I've never felt better in my life. Like, oh, I have, but in my 20s, but like I don't get tired in working out and I'm on a low dosage. My workouts are better. I feel better. I feel more sexually active. So I can't imagine if guys are doing this and like cranking it up to like 18 times what I'm on. Oh, right. My God. Oh, my God.
I thought that with Paulo Costa. I was like, you're not taking nothing. Nothing, dude. Yeah. Really? Come
on, bro. Well, I feel bad for these guys' wives. I mean, they must be like a hole in their like asshole from like how many times. Anyway, Sarah, let's talk about you. So you're –
That was a weird jump.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes. Your last fight against Pena, it was a very competitive fight. I thought you looked great in the first. The second, you could argue you won. And then the third, you looked a little tired. Is that what happened?
So it wasn't that I was tired. And I kind of alluded to it in my post. In between rounds, like I was talking to my corners and I really had different corners than I ever had had. Like my one coach tested positive for COVID. So he was out. And then I asked for Ross Sahabi, who I've worked with. And then everything, all that crazy international, you know, whatever those guys that got kicked out of the UFC, like that went down. So Firas had to leave the country or he at least had to leave Abu Dhabi. And so I lost a coach like the day before. So the people who filled in, like it's something that is a preference. And I didn't know I had a preference until it actually kind of happened, but they told me you won the first two rounds, you know, like, and I think mentally, it's almost like in a wrestling match being up by like, you know, like 5 or 6 points where you start to like, then I started to fight not to lose. And instead of being like on the aggressor and like, I usually try to fight every round as if I'm losing the fight because it just brings a better competitor out of me. And I wish that I had caught it. I wish that I had realized that I had shifted that mode. But unfortunately, like I did, I was fighting like, okay, don't lose this round and you've won the fight, you know? And man, that's a terrible way to go into it against a competitor, you know? So like, yeah, it's a shift in mindset and it, you could even see it in the way I attacked, in the way, you know, I was more hesitant, more tentative, more cautious, like things that you don't need to be in the third round of a fight.
Let me ask you, I was going to ask you, do you think it's good sometimes that they don't tell you and you just stay in the mind frame of like,
yeah,
I got to just keep pushing, pushing. Because sometimes I think you want to coast. It's like I won the first two rounds. Let me coast, and that was it. Yeah.
If I had a different corner, and he would have said, "Hey, I don't know if you won that round. I don't know how it went. You know, could go either way. You better solidify this round." You'd have seen a different fighter, and like, and I'm not putting it on my corners because some people absolutely want to know. Hey, I won those first two rounds. Don't go out there and get into like a brawl, you know, don't go out there and do something foolish. It really does depend on the fighter. So for me, unfortunately, it wasn't like, I think that it caused me to like let off the gas pedal. And some people, they are always pressing on the gas. They're always taking risks. They're always like doing too much. And that can open them up to counterattacks. I can let somebody else back in the fight. It was just not right for me. So now I know this going into the future. I hate that I had a loss in order to do that. But that being said, there's things in my jiu-jitsu that I need to work on that I've been working on and I need to continue working on. So that's
it's one of those fights where I thought you looked good. So many of your fights are so frustrating because you're like winning until you get caught. You're just like, oh, but
listen, try being here.
Exactly.
You know? I'm like, shit. Like, but, and then also I'm like, I'm still doing better. I'm still improving. Like I felt more comfortable on my feet, things like that. Like I found my fit ins pretty good. Like they're minor adjustments, but it's, I know it's frustrating, but there's something that there's something I need to, there's things I need to adjust in my training in order to keep that from happening. And I know I'm not a black belt. I know that that's the case. And that even if I were a black belt, sometimes black belts get submitted, but yeah. I need to reduce that like to non-existent, you know, like.
Yeah, and I don't want to take anything away from Juliana because she looked great. Was she tougher than you thought she was going to be?
No. I knew that she was going to be tough, so I didn't like. I knew that that was like one of her strengths, so I don't mind because you know all girl wrestlers are tough, so that's kind of like par for the course.
Right.
You know what? I'm working.
One second. So I heard you were working out on the flight over there. That's what they
said. Yeah. So that is because I learned flying overseas, like to world championships and different things like that. If I sit for, you know, 10, 12 on that flight, it's like 15, 16 hours. It's just not good for me athletically. First of all, sitting in a seated position for that long a time, it's just not good for your back. It's not good for your hip flexors. You know, like you need to have movement. I'm an athlete. And I'm also a mom of a toddler. I move all the time. So like the workout was just to get my body up, get my blood flowing. Also like if you sit for so long, the fluid will pull at your feet. You'll retain water. You know, it's just a lot of bad things that happen for athletes. And I just learned over the years that if I got up and did just a 20-minute little very light workout, when I got to the place, like I felt a lot better. I adjusted quicker, the time zone, everything. So as soon as I get in, I usually do a workout as well because it almost like sets my body to that time zone. So
okay. It seemed like you were like overweight and you need to lose weight on the flight.
No, I'd have been all sweated up. Like I was like the day of the weigh-ins, I cut like 3 or 3.5 pounds. So
right.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of those fights where I'm like, sometimes you see somebody lose a fight, you're like, oh, that person's done or whatever. This is not the case at all.
No, I'm still improving. And the only thing right now, because my body, is, you know, pretty healthy. My muscles still there. When I ask them to go, they still go, things like that. It's really always like, what's my desire. And so right after a fight, especially if I fight after I lose or win, I really can't gauge that. Right after I win, I'm in no position. Cause I'm just like, woo, I'll fight 20 fights, you know, like
right after I
lose, I'm like, fuck this. I don't ever want to fuck her. Fuck everybody else. Like, I'm just, you know, just have a poor attitude.
I saw an interview with you. I was looking at some stuff online. I like the fact that you're like, I'll fight. I want to fight the best. I don't give a shit. And some people, you hear them be more calculated. You're like, no, whoever's the best, let's go. And that's the one thing I was like, okay, when I found out you were going to be on the show, I was like, that's some cool shit. I don't know why. Yeah. To me, I like people like, okay, whoever, what's up? You're the best. Let's do it. Instead of,
yeah,
I'm going to fight this person, then I'm going to figure out that one. That one hurt their leg. I'm going to forget all that shit.
Yeah.
And I think that makes you better.
It does.
Yeah.
It does, for sure. And every time I like sign on that dotted line, I'm like, okay, this is the situation. This is, you have to be, you know, I know, like all of us know each other. So we know where we need to prepare and I know where I need to grow. And it's almost like everyone is just like it's a different puzzle and a different challenge for me.
So you left Team Alpha Male and you opened up your own gym.
Yeah.
How's that going?
So it's really good. It didn't happen exactly in that order. There was a falling out at the place that Chad, my fiance, worked, and we were basically in a point where like, you either have to like kind of take it on the chin, some stuff that was not good, or we're going to go a different direction and open our own gym. Cause he's a jiu-jitsu guy. Like that's the options, you know, like, right. So, we're like, you know what, screw it. Let's just open our own gym. And I didn't plan at first on like doing stuff with wrestling, but it's just, it helps the students. It helps, you know, it's just a good thing to have in a jiu-jitsu school as like an Olympic wrestler. So I started teaching some classes, but I try to keep it pretty low so I don't get overwhelmed with still fighting.
It was like 19 classes on your schedule. What are you talking about? I looked at it. It was like fucking 6-year-old wrestling, 7-year-old wrestling, 27-year-old. I'm like, what?
So I do have two other coaches that I work with that, you know, so they help out too. And they know a lot more of the folk style. I know the freestyle. We both know stand up. So like they're good. Like, they did good in college and they're younger and they can get in there and like really scrap with those guys. Whereas I just like kind of sit and yell at people. And I work in with some of the, there's some high level girls that are in there and like I'll work in with them here and there. So,
by the way, every time I mentioned your name to a wrestler, you were, I didn't really like, obviously I know you from MMA and from wrestling. And I know you as being like this, like very attractive woman, but they're like, that was my crush. Like,
you were, really?
Yeah. You were like the crush of all the guy wrestlers. Did you, you know that, right?
No, I have no idea. I have really? No idea. Yeah. I don't even know.
You don't have like, guys saying you like no fan mail or guys like, hey, I have a big crush on you or hearts around your face or anything. Or?
So wrestlers aren't really like that. So they would, the most times I saw a lot of those wrestlers was at competition and they're just there to compete, you know, like, sometimes afterwards when we go out, you know, like everybody, you know, guys would, you know, they'd like joke around and stuff like that. But some of them, like I had a reputation for, not putting out. So like, they're like, you're not going to get anywhere with her, you know? So don't even, don't waste your time, you know? So they go, you know, for some lower hanging fruit, but I was friends with a lot of guys.
Well, how many guys tried to hook up with you where you didn't put out, you got the reputation?
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many, but
you know what I think is? I think it's because you can tell the people that are focused on what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're, it's like, you know what? Really not concerned about your dick right now. I'm
the other girls are probably giving out handies or something, and she's just like,
I'm trying to focus on this right now. You know, I'm trying to get better at this. Put your dick away. I'm trying to get better at this. Yeah.
Got it.
Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I was attracted to some of the guys, but they just weren't, they were in a place where they just wanted to be young and wild and hook up and stuff like that. And I just like, that just wasn't what I wanted, you know? And you do that, like, it's a really small circle. So you do that a couple times and you're easily like, oh yeah, you know, she's blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to wait. And if I know I dated like, I think I only dated one guy at the open level. I dated him for a while. It was like a, you know, more serious relationship too. So it wasn't like, I'm like a saint or anything, but.
Right. I got it.
Picky.
No,
yeah,
picky. Right. That's a good way to put it. Picky.
Yeah. Now, what I like about you, Sarah, what I don't know is that you actually were a theater minor in college, right?
I was a theater major. I was a psych minor. Yeah, I loved it.
Theater major. So I was helping Ben Askren write the first season of the Ben Askren web series. And we needed and I'm like, you know who you should put in here? It'd be funny. And then I was like, Sarah McMahon. And he goes, the wrestler? And I go, no, she was a theater major. I go, really? You think she'd do it? I'm like, I think she'd be pretty cool. And then, so you were in that, in the web series?
Yeah. It was a blast.
So you were Ben's ex in it, right? You were his ex.
Yeah, which was awkward when we figured out time-wise that I would have been 20 and he would have been 16. So I was like, I know.
That makes it kind of creepy.
I know. But it's so, at least in our culture, like, that's cooler for the guy. If it were the opposite, it would be like predatory, but yeah. You know.
Right, exactly. You're going to end up on How to Catch a Predator.
So, I know.
So Sarah, if I live in Sacramento or where you live and I have a kid and I want to take wrestling, how do I contact you? How do we join your gym?
So really all you have to do is show up. I mean, anybody can come. The first training is free. And if you know, like, some people, if they really like want to try it out for like a week, then we'll give you a free week trial. You just come in and talk to us. And then after that, we can, you know, look at what fits you best.
What's the name of the gym?
It's Precision Jiu-Jitsu and Wrestling Academy. So
yes, Precision. Okay. And then you guys have an Instagram page or?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, thank you, Sarah. I'm always a big fan. Thanks for taking time.
Yes. Thanks.
Have a great week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right,
Sarah. What's up, people? Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. How cool is that? They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. That's right. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, okay? BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Check them out. All right, that was Sarah McMahon. Awesome. Now, we have this guy. They call him the Israeli Batman. This guy's a fucking monster. I watched a bunch of his fights last week. Talk about a guy on the ground. Fourth degree Renzo Gracie black belt.
Yeah, that shit is heavy right there. Fourth degree. Don't sleep on that.
First guy.
Five degree.
Wow, 5 degree.
Okay, yeah. Make sure you get it right.
He actually got his fifth during this while waiting for Sarah. That's how good he is. The guy's and he won his bare knuckle boxing. He killed it. Chaim Ghazali, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you in Israel right now?
No, I'm in New York. Okay. Israel closed the sky because of the COVID now. So we're stuck in New York. We cannot fly to Israel.
You're stuck in New York. Now, grew up, you were in the special forces in Israel?
I was in the border patrol. It's a special unit of the police. Every Israeli guy, you know, kids, like when he comes to 18, go to the army for 2 years. So, yeah. Everyone.
But what was that like? Did you learn Krav Maga when you do that?
Yeah, everybody in the army learned Krav Maga. What I did in the army, it was like a special unit of the police. We used to do that in Jerusalem, you know, the holy city. And that's what our mission, you know, to do over there, like order and stuff like that. You know, because Jerusalem is very, you know, crazy place. You know, you have all the religious over there, so all the time you have stuff over there.
And then you were working as a bouncer, and you got stabbed 5 times.
Yeah, I stabbed they stabbed me 5 times in my. I opened the door. I go to the ground to take the lock of the door. Suddenly, I fell to the face like something like that. Cut all my face. I get up. The guy tried to run. I grab him and start to punch. Grab the knife like that. The knife get inside of my hand and.
I saw the interview with you. You had to get some surgeries, but the surgeries worked.
Yeah, I did like 6 surgeries in my hand. Today I don't feel the hand. I don't feel nothing. But the hand is good. You know, I can use it. But I don't have nerves to feel the hand. So
when did you start training under Renzo and jiu-jitsu and MMA?
Renzo, I started in 96. I came to New York. And Renzo just opened his academy. I started to train over there, and since then I'm with him. You know, more than 20 something years. I don't know.
Wow! So you were
never left.
So you went from white belt to black belt under Renzo.
Everything under Renzo. Yeah. All my life.
What was it like working under him? But now, was he cool to you at first? Was he like
all the time from the beginning? It's the same Renzo. Like you know him today, it's the same Renzo. Like 20 years ago. You know, I came to the academy, but in Israel, it didn't have like jiu-jitsu, so I bought the videotapes. So I started to learn by videotapes. So I came to the academy, and I started submitting people. So he came to me, how do you know jiu-jitsu? I told him, I bought your videotapes, and I learned. I don't believe you. Come on. I told him, yes, for real. I used to do it on my wife. Then she's my wife, but she was my girlfriend back then. I used to train on my wife because nobody wanted to do ground, you know, in Israel. Everybody like boxing, karate, and stuff like that. So I used to train, do jiu-jitsu drill on my wife, and you see. Wow, now look at me.
Now, did your wife like it, or was she just choked out and unconscious?
No, she just stand, and I said, put your hand over here. Back then, jiu-jitsu was basic. It's not like today, you know. It was just basic, you know. It's like mount, guard, you know, side. Not too much. It was not too much like today. The 20 years, you know, the jiu-jitsu developed and become crazy.
Right.
So were you living in Israel and New York at the time, going back and forth?
So my kid, Aviv, is living in New York. So I'm back and forth. I'm living in Israel.
Got it. Because you promoted the first couple Bellator events in Israel. Was that hard to be the promoter and the fighter?
Yeah. Think about it. In 2000, 16, there was no MMA in Israel. You know, a couple of small events. Suddenly, I bring Bellator to Israel. I'm promoting, I'm fighting. First show, we have like 8,000 people. You know, think about it. After 2016, suddenly the MMA become in Israel like crazy. Everybody know the fight, everybody. Since then, every show, 10,000. It's a crazy number, even to the States, you know, like. So, yeah,
but you're you're the one that brought it to Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you see online, people say it was you, and you kind of brought it in. And also, you brought jiu-jitsu, really, to the people there. Wow. You know, it was you. And I was talking to my boy, and he's like, yeah, man, that dude been in the game for a while. Yeah, he's the one that brought it here. And I'm like, is that really him? And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, shit, it is him. So, yeah, it was you, man.
Yeah. Now, yeah, the jiu-jitsu, me and two more guys used to do that together, so we bring it to Israel. The MMA was in Israel, small bit, you know. I did the first MMA event in Israel. I did it in 97, I think. Think of a small event, you know. But I bring all this sport to Israel, and today it's crazy. You do that, I'm going in a mall or stuff like that, everybody knows me. Think about it. A sport that in 2016, nobody know what it is. Today, everybody know you. You all the time. In the TV, all the time, like in the newspaper. So, and there's a couple of fighter, Israeli fighter also signing Bellator. There's a UFC, like Israeli that signing the UFC now, you know. So, it's become big now in Israel. Now,
and what's crazy is that you're so known for your jiu-jitsu. Like, your jiu-jitsu is unbelievable. But now you're 47 years old, and you're like, I'm going to do bare-knuckle boxing, which is the one thing you weren't known for, which was your stand-up. And... why at 40, and you look ripped at 47. I don't know what type of Israeli supplements you're taking, but get me some immediately. why did you go into bare knuckle boxing last
night? So first of all, I saw the bare knuckle. I know what is bare knuckle. You know, when I started to do MMA, it was bare knuckle, but nobody punched too much. You know, everybody tried to look for the ground, copy Hoist Gracie. So when I saw it now, you know, everybody saw Kimbo Slice and stuff. You know what boxing, bare knuckle. But when I saw it, to become like a big event and like an organization. So, oh my God, I need to try it before I'm retiring for real. Because everybody tell me, every fight, everybody tell me, you retire. Yeah, I'm retiring and then I'm coming back. So I said, I have to do that, you know. And it's a challenge for me, you know, to do the transition to from MMA fighter or jiu-jitsu fighter to do it just boxing. No, I bring my MMA, my boxing coach to the States with me. We do the training camp over here because Israeli go to the quarantine over there. So we have to come to the States, you know, as soon as we can. So we did in 2 months, we did the transition from the MMA, I know, like the boxing from MMA or, you know, to do a bare knuckle boxing because you cannot punch too much in bare knuckle. I hurt my hand, you know. Couple of bucks in your end, you know, because the head is stronger than the hand. So we do the transition in 2 months, and it was a challenge for me, you know. I like to challenge myself. Like, if I'm 47, 40, I'm going to be 48.
You were hurt the first round, and then you came back and you knocked the dude out. I mean, like, it was like Rocky, but it was like Israeli Rocky. It was like, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. You're like a Jewish Balboa. It was crazy.
Yeah, so let me tell you how it goes, because to fight bare knuckle, nobody know what it is, you know, until you fight it. So you can think about it, you can see that, but you have to feel it. So we knew that. In the first round, the coach told me, listen, probably you're not going to hit him. Probably you're going to get punched. But I want you to be focused. Don't come back like broke. Because if you see my statistic, if I'm going into the second round, I'm losing the fight. All my fight like that. So I want you to be focused. Even if you lost the round and you got hit, come back to the corner and we're going to focus you to go back again. And that's what happened. I tried to punch him. I cannot punch him in the fist. You got punched with fist. You know, it's like 90-something kilo. Every punch, like you feel it. Your head is like that. So when I know I lost the fight, like the round, so I'm coming to the corner. You bring me the chair. I tell him, no, I don't want a chair. I'm standing. So he told, I told him, I cannot hit him. So he told me, you know that's going to happen now. Focus. You lost the round. Now it's a new round. Think about it. It's a new fight for you. Go and kill them. And I kill him. And I kill him. You know? It was like that. It was like that.
I mean, we were at the original Bare Knuckle when it was you versus Goliath. Back in the day.
I was going to ask, when you get cracked in bare knuckle, did you want to go back to, I should heel hook him. If I heel hook him, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I know. Whenever I've got hit, I'm like, oh, fuck it. Go to the ground. Let's go.
Like, yeah, you know, but we work about the clinch. I know if I'm going to get in, if he got me in the first round with punch, until now my jaw is like that. So I knew. If I'm losing the fight, I'm going to clinch him, and I did the clinch good. You know, I clinch him, punch from the clinch, you know, recover myself in the clinch. And the strategy went good, you know.
Yeah, really good. It was amazing. Now, your kid, by the way, your kid is insane. He's 5-0. This kid is probably the next big thing in MMA. His jiu-jitsu is off the charts. When he came out of the womb, did you heel hook him? How did you get this kid? Like, you started this kid early, huh? Like, was his first diaper a gi? Yeah. I mean. Like,
yeah. he started to train when he was 3 years old.
Three.
3 years old. And all my life is fighting, you know. So all the time, where we going, it's fighting. He's coming with you to show. He's coming with you to a tournament. He grew up in the sport. It's not like I push him to the sport. He pushed himself to the sport. Because he was with me all the time. So, yeah. Now he's living in New York. He's not in Israel. He's training with Ray Longo, Enzo Gracie, Matt Serra. And he's waiting for his next fight. He's in Bellator, you know. He's got more fights over there.
His submissions are insane. Like, I mean, I don't know how good his striking is because we haven't seen it yet. But his submissions are next level. Like, what degree black belt is he?
He's a brown belt. He's supposed to get his black belt now.
Wow.
But, you know, COVID and stuff like that. So everything was closed in Israel. But maybe going to give it to him over here in New York now before I'm leaving to Israel.
Do you get nervous watching him?
Yeah. I was all the time I'm in his corner. But the last fight was 4-0. I couldn't leave Israel to come over here. So I saw it first time on TV, which was crazy. You know, I'm over there, like, I'm screaming to the TV, no, do that, no. And then he won, you know. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning in Israel and screaming, and all the building is like waking up, what happened, you know? Yep. It's hard to see that. But it's good, you know, it's good. He's got, he grew up in this. His potential is so good. He's like, you know, just... I think he's going to be something big if you continue like that.
I saw an interview before his first, huh? Before he was, I saw an interview where they were asking you about it. It was you, and you walked in on another interview with Royce, and it was like you were talking. You said, yeah, he's going to do it. I'm going to give him some time to really make sure he's, you know, ready. And then you see the tear he goes on. So you were right back then, like, before he even did the shit,
ready.
You were like,
the kid's 20 years old, ready.
No, but notice this 11? Is an older interview, and he talked about it then, and then you see from then till now, you said that before. I think he was like 16.
Look. I have a much more important question. So my dad told me that Israeli women are the best in bed because they have five countries trying to blow them off the map. So they're just crazy in bed. They're just wild. They don't care. I've slept with a couple of them. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure you slept with hundreds, not thousands.
I'm married.
Oh. He can't really.
I'm married.
But I mean, they called. But you're the Israeli Batman. Before you were married. Right. But before you were married.
I'm married.
Okay. All right. No more questions. All right. So, who do you think? Who do you think is going to win this week? Between Gilbert Burns and Usman?
I hope Gilbert.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like this. Everybody that become champion start to be like with suit and talking like that and like becoming like bullshit man. I don't like it. I like the, you know, be honest, be like, I don't know how to say the word in English, you know, be a cool guy, you know, act like with respect, maybe show up and stuff like that. Don't be like Conor wannabe, you know, everybody become like Conor wannabe, like suit with flashing color. Come on, who's going with suit like that? You're going to go with a suit like that. You're going to go to a, I don't know, to a show with a suit like that. But because you become a champion, you start to wearing stuff that nobody is going to ever wear. Yeah. I don't like this stuff. Yeah. You know, only because of that.
He started acting like he was smooth, like, yeah, ladies. Yeah. Like,
I'm cool, man. Shut the fuck up, bro.
I saw his interview, and I just like, oh, man, what the fuck happened to you?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I think that
no, I don't like this stuff.
He's hungry as fuck. He's humble, but he's hungry. And I think that it. I mean, I want him to win. I want him to win. I really do want him to win.
They've also trained together, and also Usman left his camp. He left his camp, went to Colorado, and he was before that. He was with, you know, Rashad Evans and those guys over at Sanford or the Black Zillions. This is the first camp. He's with Trevor Whitman. So that's going to be a big asterisk right there. You know, when you're the champion and you win all your fights under one camp and then all of a sudden you leave, we'll see. We will see how that – I think that's actually a pretty big factor. Two of the most respected fighters step back into the octagon this weekend to compete for the welterweight title. That's right. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is very easy to play. Just pick six fighters, sit underneath the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's a lot of money. I could use that money, okay? Listen, plus, and don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. DraftKings is a safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. That's huge. Okay, here's your call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code ROASTED to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code ROASTED to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. There's a minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Check it out.
You don't need that.
Chaim, it was an honor to have you on. You are.
Thank you.
I always root for you because you're older and I'm older. And I was like, every time you would win, I would go, he's doing it for the older guys to show we can still do
it. Are you going to do another bare knuckle boxing?
I'm going to bring them to Israel and we're going to do a show now. Just the COVID is going to finish because Israel, like now 4 million people got the vaccines. So I believe in 2 months from now, Israel is going to be open for everything. So we're going to bring them to Israel. I'm going to do over the event and I'm going to fight, of course.
That's awesome. I love that idea.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Everybody said 47, I'm 48 in 2 months. So, you know, 47 is behind me.
Can you bring my wife to Israel and have me stay here by any chance? I'm just kidding.
Listen, no, you're going to come.
It's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
So, that was Chaim Ghazali, legend. One is bare knuckle boxing. So we have this amazing couple. We've had her on the show. Last time it was entertaining to say the least. Between Jenny,
to say the least,
it was the most entertaining. I still watch it when I'm not feeling down. I laugh. When she told the girl she looks like a foot with no toes. And look at the kind of girl that steps on roaches barefoot. It was insults for days. It was unbelievable. I don't know if she wrote them or not, but if she did, she has a future in comedy. The Tennessee gangster, Jenny Savage, is here with her boyfriend, husband or fiance. I don't know what is going on. Bomaye. How are you guys doing?
Really well. How about yourself?
Good, man. Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I'm doing better than I have this beautiful couple with me. So you made national news last week. We'll get right to it. After Britton Hart won her fight, you walked into the ring, no security. You just basically stormed in, and she threw water on you. And then it looked like David Feldman took you and said, just please get out of the ring. You went out, yep. Started getting the crowd all crazy. What happened? Why did you do that? What happened? Tell me the whole thing. What's going on?
Well, I was just trying to concentrate on my studies of business management. I'm trying to get my degree. And if you know anything about that kind of math, you could punch an old lady, okay? I was told by the management that I work with that there was an opportunity to commentate on this show for Paige VanZant and Bret Hart. And so I dropped everything, my son's homeschool, my college work, my life here at home, my cat, okay? I take her seriously. Right. She had to stay here for a few days by herself. She's got a fountain, okay? She's bougie, but right. I have a life, okay? I was told that I was going to show up here and call somebody out or just commentate at the very least. So when I showed up to this place and I didn't get credentials, I knew something was weird. I had to actually spend the night at the airport because whoever handled the airport tickets was, I don't know if they knew what they were doing. So there was some issues there. As you could see, I didn't, you know, send myself there. I didn't pay for any of this. I mean, I'm just showing up. So when I'm sitting here and I'm just watching all these girls fight, I'm like, why am I here? I could watch this at home while I'm doing my homework, you know? So I'm getting irritated. The production people knew that somebody was supposed to sit in and commentate, but I guess the lady that put it all together, I guess she's like the director of the whole production was not, I guess, filled in that I was supposed to sit there. So I was getting a little agitated that, you know, that wasn't going on. Then other people noticed that I wasn't able to commentate. So they were like, hey, when she's done, you know, like, or when they're done fighting, go in there and just call her out like the last guy did. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, I've seen that done before, right? But I didn't really think, I guess, that it was a really big deal. And I went in there and she poured water on me like a very classy person. Let's just put it that way.
That was a bitch move and you know it.
Yes, it was. What would you do? Let's just be, you're going in there with the advice to go, you know, like call somebody out and then they pour water on you. Wouldn't you, I mean, thankfully my hands were open. People think, you know, I just went in and clobbered her, but you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, first of all, you fought for the organization. You won the last fight.
Yes.
So it wasn't like you were just some random person. You won for BKFC. They fly you out. They pay for you. They don't get you a hotel. You got to be at the airport all night.
I was at the airport, but see, there was some weird, I guess, because they were so busy and
see,
he handled all that. So
I'm not sure if it was partly the management we was working with. I don't think really bare knuckle. It didn't really seem like BKFC knew we were coming. Like we were supposed to be special guests, but we wound up being some very unspecial, special guests. Like we got there, we didn't have passes like we were supposed to. We wound up getting tickets for the nosebleeds. We didn't get paid for, you know, where the work that Jen was supposed to do, which, I mean, she didn't get to do it. So I guess why would you get paid if you didn't get to do it? We didn't have a flight when we got there. So we had to stay at the airport all night until we finally got a flight. Come to find out when it was time to fly back, we didn't have a flight back either. So we were stuck there until we could get a flight home. Yeah. So it was a.
Do you have an email trail? Like, was there a contract saying you were going to get paid? Any of that?
No. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That's why it can't be bare knuckles fault. I don't think they were. I think the idea of us being there for Jen to commentate was there, but I don't think that all the communication was. There was some kind of miscommunication, and I don't think that they are the ones that actually did the legwork of bringing us out there. Once we got out there, like if we got out there and they saw us there, I think they had plans for her to commentate because when we went up for her to commentate, there were people that knew she was supposed to be there. It was, unfortunately, it was only the head lady who didn't know she was supposed to be there.
Yeah, whose manager contacted you?
So we're working with Bare Knuckle Management and they were the ones that did all the legwork, I guess. I'm not exactly sure who filed the, you know, who did the paperwork.
So somebody dropped the ball. Somebody dropped the ball.
Yeah, but
yeah, basically.
And I'm assuming that they were busy because this was Bare Knuckle's biggest event. It was the biggest event. I mean, I've fought a lot, so is he, but we've never seen such big promotion, you know, like right. in
in a show like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, that clip went viral. Everybody was talking about you.
Yeah.
I didn't show up there for nothing. You know, especially with her talking mess. A lot of people didn't watch my fight. She commentated, and it was dreadful. It was absolutely terrible. She was making fun of me for things I can't help, like my height. Like, who does that?
Right.
You know, and then she walks up to me after the fight and says all these, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just little stupid remarks.
What did she say?
Because she's insecure.
Right.
Well, she was just saying all I have is an overhand and it wouldn't land on her. And, you know, my slap sure did land. So, I mean, something about my overhand is
yeah, something works.
Is accurate.
Overhand works.
Now, what do you think about her being a feeling and not a person?
Come on, now she's a hater. I mean, you know, so of course.
she's a hater. Yeah,
she's feeling all right.
That feeling is hate, boy. That's that feeling.
Yeah. I mean, who acts like the whole ring is theirs, like they're never gonna fight again?
But I feel
you beat Paige VanZant.
But this was probably the best thing for you because now, you're 125. That's your weight class, right? And you're gonna fight.
Yeah.
It seems like you're next in line for this girl. No, I mean you're 1-0 in bare knuckles. She's 2-2. So why wouldn't this be your next fight?
Because she's scared, or maybe she just doesn't want to, she doesn't, all the attention she got from Paige, she doesn't want to give to me, I guess. Whatever she's playing in her head as if she's like Floyd Mayweather or something, I don't know.
People make excuses. People make any excuse they want to run from a fight.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to fight everybody that I can get my hands on. And to be real, I've got the utmost respect for Christine Faria.
Yeah.
She'd be the last person I'd fight, but I am going to fight her. The thing is that I feel like I've got to get heavier. I've got to get that muscle. She's put in a lot of work. The girl climbs from 145 to 125 and I'm a 115er. So right. I have so much respect for her, but I mean, everybody is going to get it. I mean, that's just the way it is. I didn't come here to play patty cake. I didn't come here for just, I mean, I came here because Paige VanZant is a big name. It just means that there's more for all of us. But, yeah, I didn't come here to sit on my hands. You know what I mean? Like, I love MMA. But, I mean, bare knuckle is where I want to be. And just to throw that out there, if you don't really see much of me, that's because people don't want to fight me.
Well, first of all, I got to say, you're very good on social media. Your pictures are super hot. Me being a married guy, I can't look at them too long. But they are a very attractive girl. Now, your boyfriend... who I looked into you. Is this your boyfriend? Are you guys married?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it says here you're a pro wrestler, prize fighter, writer, musician, and entertainer. Is that all on one business card? It seems like you do a lot of...
Oh, what, are you a carpenter? Are you Jamaican? Yeah. That's how many jobs...
I do it all, man. You know, I do a little bit of everything. I do it all real, real, real good, too. Better than most everybody else.
All right, so talk to me. All right, so let's break it down. I watched some of your pro wrestling. It was pretty dope, I got to say. Even Gregory Helms commented, the Hurricane, said that you're doing some good moves. How far are you along in your pro wrestling career?
Well, man, I've been wrestling for going on 4 years now. I've been on some decent side promotions. As a matter of fact, right before the pandemic, I was down training at the Reality of Wrestling at Booker T School. I would have liked to got to spend a lot more time down there, but, you know, the pandemic kind of shuffled everything up. But right now, man, I've been doing my thing. I've been kind of rubbing shoulders with different people, and I'm just on the prowl for some work right now, man. Matter of fact, when we were down at the Bare Knuckle Show, not this time, but when Jennifer fought, that's the first time we saw Shaq down there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Shaq was a part of Bare Knuckle, and I also saw that he was a part of he's a part of AEW now. He's doing something on TV, wrestling Cody Rhodes, I think. So, who knows? Bare Knuckle, I've been talking to them about getting into the ring, and maybe that'll parlay into something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
What's your wrestling
name? I'm active, bro. I'm trying to beat up everybody. You know what I mean?
What's your wrestling name?
My real name, Boomaya Adrian Thomas. That's what people know me by. And to be honest, I kick ass in the ring the same way I do in the cage. So ain't no need to take another name.
You don't need to change it. In the cage right now,
you're 1-1. But right. you haven't fought since 2017.
Yes, sir.
What's the holdup?
Nope. You want me to be honest?
Sure.
So after I had that after that. The first fight, I had my second fight because I lost my first one
quote unquote lost it. And then I had my second fight and I smashed that guy and everybody went running. Basically, I think the only reason I got that second fight is because I quote unquote lost the first one.
He broke his hand. And, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, I broke my hand on the dude's face and I broke his face. And I took like a couple months off to heal my hand. And after that, everybody disappeared. Bro, nobody
Come on, everybody? We talked to a lot of fighters. Everybody disappeared.
I'm telling you. I'm not saying I'm the scariest guy. I'm not saying I'm the most dangerous guy in the world. But when you look at the way I fight with a record of 1-1, anybody who's tough doesn't want to fight me. Because when I whoop their ass, it's going to look bad that they got beat by 1-1. And anybody who's not tough don't want to fight me because I'm tough. And they don't want to get their ass whooped. So it's a bunch of motherfuckers. Now, maybe you can put it out there. Maybe somebody who's, you know,
He said, I'm not going to fight you.
That's good. But people watch you. Maybe somebody, you know, they'll hear me talking. They want to make me eat my words. And I'll get to put my fist in somebody's face. Because I don't care, man. Like, that's why I'm telling you. I've been looking for bare knuckles. I've been talking to some management from Bare Knuckle about getting in there. What I really would like to do is get back into the cage and dump somebody on the head real quick. But what I really would like to do is get into the ring and show everybody what I could do in there because it just doesn't stop.
What do you really want to do? All right, now, as far as musician, what type of music do you do?
I'm a rapper, yeah.
All right, what's your rap? Is it same name?
No, my rap name is A-Dre. I haven't done that in a minute, but, you know, the skills is always there.
That's right.
You guys are like, if anyone should be married, it's you two. It probably would last a week, but I think it would be a great.
Hey, we running 8 years, man. You know what I mean?
Eight years.
That's basically what it is. Yes, sir. Wow.
So that's your kid?
No, that's not my son. She had him before me, actually.
Yeah.
Wait, how old your son?
He's 11.
How old are you? Like 15? What is it? What do you want? Fucking,
you look mad young.
Were you like preteen mom? Like that's.
Yeah, I was a teen mom. I was 15 and I had him at 16.
Wow. Because you do not look like a mom. Okay, yeah. So eight years and no ring. What's going on? What, you need more professions? What are you waiting for?
Hey man, you know it's just we're married already. You know it's coming in time. When I'm able to do what I would like to do. You know, I want to do something special. When I'm able to do what I would like to do, then I would do it. I'd rather not do something, you know.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Got it.
All right. And you're already in the mix with it. Fuck it. That's
We're not going nowhere.
Jenny Savage, you seem so much different right now than you were the last time. Last time against Ashley Gambino. I don't know how much weed you smoked before this interview. But the last time, I mean, you had this insult after. Did you write those insults yourself?
Yeah, I wrote them down. I wrote them all down, and well, not all of them. A lot of them came off just because I just watch a lot of we just stay up all night and just watch funny like people roasting each other.
Yeah,
like that's just what we do. So I was ready for her, you know.
Oh,
which I'm cool with them. Do what?
You call somebody look like a foot. It's just.
A foot with no toes.
A foot with no toes.
It's a toeless foot.
Yeah, you toeless foot club hoe bitch.
You killed cockroaches with your bare feet. It was my wife never laughs at anything I say, and then she watched that, she was dying. Like you're her new favorite comic.
See, women can be funny.
Oh no!
We know a lot of funny women.
I know a lot of funny women.
Yeah, I like the fact. No, it just seemed you seem more like, look, this is what it is, and that's it. And I like people like that because instead of like you, even like what you said, man, you were like, look, they afraid of the 1-1 because they know they can get the smoke. And I knew, like, when somebody talks like that, they go, yeah, man, I could fucking lose bad to this dude.
Yeah,
that could make people run.
So what weight are you?
145.
145.
And that's the thing too, man. I'm not even a big 145. I'm a smaller 45. And motherfuckers still don't want to, you know, they're not trying to run with me.
They argue that he should be at 135. But he's like, no, I'm not gonna kill myself.
All right. So you're looking for a fight at 145. Yeah, bro, promotion. Now, you guys train with Nate to train?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not fully at the I train.
He does.
I train at the gym still. Jennifer has made a full switch from SSF to Game Bread. And I train. I still go back and I train with SSF and Nate sometimes, and I train at Gamebred.
That, I mean, that's a wild combination. I could only imagine you guys with him. That dude's another maniac. Now, after you dumped water on, or you got water on your head, and you came out, what did people say to you? Because there were a lot of celebrities at the Bare Knuckle. What did Paige Van Zandt say to you? Like, what happened?
No, I think everybody else was chill about it except for Bret Hart's family. Yeah, you seem the person that I flipped off. That was her mom.
Oh, so you cursed out her mom. What did her mom say to you?
She said something like, "You don't do that. You're stealing her shine." I'm like, she talked for 5 minutes, man. I've seen some of the greatest world champions talk for just like a minute or something. I mean, that's fine. I'm not trying to steal shine, but Paige Van Zandt was already in the back wiping the blood off and everything of her and stuff. So the whole point was to be like, what's up, you know? But I literally did not try to steal her shine. Like, people, like, don't, they're so dramatic. It's like they add extra stuff for women. It's like, no. Women need longer time to speak. We need this. We need, no, shut your heck up. It's the same stuff as any other dude. So, I mean, come on now. These guys got to fight for the freaking spotlight, and you're over here taking 5 minutes. I get it. You beat Paige Van Zandt. Good for you. You didn't beat Christine Faria. You didn't beat Rebecca Rowling, who knocked her teeth out, which Paige knocked out again, by the way. People don't give her enough credit for that. I'm just saying.
So who do you want to fight next?
Anybody. Except for Christine. I need time for Christine. I've always said that.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to be real. I need some time for Christine.
So do you want to fight Paige Van Zandt next? I think that could be a good fight. You versus Paige Van Zandt.
I'd love to, but like, to be realistic, she needs to fight like Randine, or she needs to fight, in my opinion, she needs to fight Sheena Starr. I honestly think Sheena deserves this more than anybody, you know. But she needs to fight somebody who had lost. Maybe Charissa.
I love Sheena, but her record isn't that great. Her MMA record is like what is it, like 7-30 or something? Like, it's,
but she's,
well,
I mean, so
she's only 1-2.
Yeah, she's only 1-2 in Bare Knuckle, but see, she's got a mixed record. I feel like that's not really fair because she was in the game. Like, she has multiple records, like, if that makes sense, like different profiles. So I feel like all of her fights combined isn't really.
No, I love Sheena Starr. Like, she's one of my favorite people.
Right.
And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if she fights Sheena Starr, they're going to be like, yeah, she just beat a girl who's ranked 7, who a 4-80 record. That's what people are going to say. And it's not right to Sheena Starr and Paige Van Zandt, but that's what people are going to say. That, yeah. So I do think that you versus Paige, two hot girls, the girl that crashed a
cage. Me too.
I'm just saying. You're kind of crazy, but in like a fun, good way. I can't even imagine the sex, you guys. Although it's probably boring, missionary. This tour, you're nuts.
Probably just go,
that, right? When you think it.
But I think Paige Van Zandt would be a bigger check, too.
Oh, my God.
It would be a much bigger check. And I think that it would, the level of visibility you would get would pop up. It would literally.
You got to start calling out Paige Van Zandt. You got, honestly, you want that. If you want that money, that's a good fight.
She already agreed.
She agreed.
She already agreed that she'd fight me.
Okay. So then when's the fight?
Honestly, I really think it's her management trying to save her. She's brave. Like, she'll fight anybody, I believe. Right,
So drop out of school. You don't need school right now. All right? You gotta get.
I'm trying, man.
Paige.
She's literally the bait that got me into Bare Knuckle. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, I even said to sweeten the pot. If we wanted to sweeten it, to give him the entice a little bit, what's his homie Austin? Me and him we could do a fight too, or we could do high rollers or something. We could roll. We could do some shit. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think that wouldn't work out very well for you. No offense. He's 170, and he's the big dude.
Doesn't matter, bro.
He's 12-0. He's 12-0 in Bellator.
Doesn't matter.
This guy's a illegal wrestler.
Doesn't matter. Everybody I work out with is bigger than me. Doesn't matter.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Tag team.
How big do you think Nate is? That mug is huge.
All right. So we're going to do tag team Bare Knuckle. You two versus Paige and Austin. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Tag in and tag out. Yeah.
You want to do that?
Tag team. Yeah.
Yeah, but what if it's tag. Austin versus Jen? That might be rough. Or you versus Paige. That might be something. Swinging Bear. All right, listen, people. Where can people follow?
Listen, people. He says.
Where can people follow you guys?
That was so weird. What just happened?
Where can people follow
you? You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at the Tennessee Gangster, or just Jenny Savage on Facebook.
And you, sir?
Me, everything is Adre_OTM, Adre_OTM on everything.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. Have a great week. When you get that Paige VanZant fight, I know you will. Come back. And
I want to see you get a fight, man, soon. I hope somebody step up and take the smoke. Sure.
Hey, man, y'all put it out there. Let everybody I know say I'm going to whoop their ass. I'm sure somebody will come and say
I will. I'm going to put it out today. I promise you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Hey, and let them know. Let Paige VanZant be my next fight, please.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'll let her know. I will let
her know. Yeah, tell her directly.
I said please.
No problem. Thank you, Tennessee Gangster. Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, man.
All right, thank you so much.
All right. Very interesting show today.
No, I thought it was weird. It did a weird... But, I mean, you know what, though? I like the fact that he just, like, I'll fight anybody. Not at 170.
No, dude, no disrespect to him. I'm sure he's great, but Austin Vanderford, I think, is going to be a world champion. Not that he won't. I haven't seen enough of this guy's fight, and I'm not going to, but that, you don't want to give away 25 pounds against Austin Vanderford right
now. Yeah, you don't want to give away, fuck that. You don't want to give away 10 pounds.
But I like his style, though. I like his energy.
He said whoever. Whoever. You know?
I like how he's like, I've conquered the game in MMA. I'm like, you're 1-1. He's like, well, yeah. I was like, all right. But I like the dude. I like him. I like Tennessee Gangster. They're both hilarious.
You think if she fights Paige VanZant, I'm telling you that a combination of the video and that, she would blow up because of her personality too.
It's a good fight too. She's they both have had one fight in bare knuckle boxing, and I think that you know, her. I think that obviously Paige VanZant has a lot better record in MMA, but she has a better record against the other girl, you know. But I think also this girl's smaller than Paige VanZant. Like, she could fight at 115. She's a smaller girl, but that might be what Paige needs, kind of, to get her feet wet. Who knows?
But, you know, it could be seen as for Paige VanZant, but she might, if she, say she clocked Paige VanZant, it would be, she would immediately be in the mix.
Oh, dude, I mean, just her in general. She's like a hot Tennessee gangster.
Right, tatted, fucking tatted, ready to go. Not,
fucking chest tattoos. She's a little badass, dude. She's hilarious, too. I like her spirit.
Yeah.
I like people like that. That just they're both self-made people, you know? They're not...
We relate to people like that because... Comics to me, a lot of comics like yourself or myself or some guys I know are self-made. Like, we put ourselves in a position, we work on our material, we work on our shit. We're like kind of like lone samurais. I know that somebody was making fun because I said that, but comics are like lone samurais. We go to different places and defeat motherfuckers.
Yeah, no, I just like how this guy also is like a
musician.
I didn't even get to the writing part. An entertainer. He said, but wouldn't entertainer be like all of them under entertainment? Like, I don't even know.
They're all entertaining, but that doesn't make you an entertainer. But, well, hey, man.
If you're a pro wrestler, I would say you're an entertainer.
If he wants to get back in the cage, 1-1, you need to get a few more fights.
Oh, yeah. But everyone's scared of him.
They all scattered.
Everyone's scared. He's right, though. He's actually right in regards to, like, people will look at somebody's record and be like 1-1, but they'll go college wrestler, jiu-jitsu, whatever, he'll high level, and they'll go, ah, this is a, you know, this juice ain't worth the squeeze, as they say it, you know. So so he's right, but at the same time, if he wants to get a fight, he can get a fight. Come on. And yeah. He was also like, I think he had a pretty decent amateur record too. I think he was 5-0 as an amateur or something. So he's not and if he's a college wrestler too, that's that also makes it tough. But so what do you got coming up, Shane?
I'm still promoting the special. The special is coming out February 18th on Amazon Prime, Shangri. So you guys hit me up on my website. The trailer is on my website, iamshang.com. Still having shit going on with my Twitter and my Instagram. I get double whammy by getting hacked. But at least Bank of America gave me my money back. I got hacked heavy, and they took all my money out of the account, but Bank of America tracked it and gave it back to me. So, whew, that was a close one. Yeah, man, they got me. But they still, But yeah, make sure you guys check out the trailer and make sure you check me out on Amazon Prime. It's called Shang is Shangri. I did it in New York City. We did it at John Jay College. And so it came out pretty good. I'm hoping people like it. It's taken forever to get it out. So
I'm sure I've seen it and it's hilarious. I've seen you thousands of times. I've never seen you have a bad set. You always crush it.
You know what we had the most fun working? I had fun working with you at the is it the parlor?
Oh, Seattle.
No, it was the parlor in, was it Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle. Washington. It was Seattle.
Seattle. I was thought it was, for some reason in my mind, I thought Bellevue. Somewhere I worked.
It was around there. Yeah. That was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, we got to work every night and do a lot of shows and to really stretch out time-wise. Because LA, I think the most time I was 10 minutes or 20 minutes at the Laugh Factory. So I love when I can go on the road and stretch out. I'm trying to do that one up north that you did, Alameda. How was that?
I had a great time. They treated me really nice. It was outdoors, but it felt like it was indoors, if you know what I'm saying. And it was like 3 minutes from Oakland. And I saw some old friends, a bunch of fighters came. I had a great time.
I've known Adam for a long time. Anybody listen to this, he's funny from the day I met him to now. And never changed up being a goofball. Even after he did the Tonight Show, I thought he was going to be oh shit, he's going to turn into an asshole. No. And he didn't. Some people got the Tonight Show and turned into assholes.
Yeah, they were assholes before.
You're like, oh, okay, they were assholes before, right? Yeah,
you know, people are. Anyway, listen, watch my special now, Throwing Punches on Fight Pass. I'm going to be headlining at the Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory,
Las Vegas, February 18th to the 21st. Thank you, man. Thank you to everyone that came on the show.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Be safe.